in Lindenhurst. I'm the certified lay minister there, and I'm just very thrilled to be back here. Last time I was here for a square dance. I was in a youth group advisor, so you can tell how long ago that's been. So let us bow our head in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. So what prayers and scriptures do you know by heart? I like doing interactive stuff, so just yell out the ones you know. Do you know, now I lay me down to sleep? The bedtime prayer. The Apostles' Creed. Yep. Beatitudes. Ten Commandments. I know them, but I don't know if I have them in order anymore. What's the shortest verse in the Bible from John 11:35? Anybody know the shortest one? Jesus wept, right. Do you know the five-finger prayer? This one's for kids. Five-finger prayer. Okay, hold up your hands. Okay, your thumb tells you to pray for those who are closest to you, your family and your friends. Your pointer finger, pray for those who point you in the right direction, your teachers, your pastors, leaders. Pray for wisdom and support. Your middle finger, the tallest, is for you to remember to pray for those who lead us, those in government, in business, in church leadership. Pray for guidance and wisdom. The ring finger, the weakest, because you can't pick up your ring finger without your pinky or your middle finger. Pray for those who are poor, sick, in pain, in trouble, and those in the most need. And your pinky finger, the smallest one, pray for yourself and your own needs. Okay, so the five-finger prayer. In nursery school, we call them wiggles. Everybody put your wiggles up. And then the most important one, the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer? Okay. How many hundreds or thousands of times have you recited this prayer by memory and given it any thought? You figure if we say it 52 times a week minimum in church, and just say we just had a 57th birthday, just saying. You know, that's a lot of saying the Lord's Prayer. When I was in confirmation class, Reverend Jack King asked me to recite the Lord's Prayer as part of the final exam. I would start out fine, but then I would fumble because I was thinking about it. And it wasn't by rote. It wasn't by memory. It just wasn't flowing because I was stopping and thinking. And how many times do we do that? So many things we do so automatically. How many times do you drive a car and think, gee, how did I get to work so fast? I don't even remember, you know, such and such intersection. It was very eye-opening then, as it is when I saw the topic for today. I've never really broken down the Lord's Prayer line by line to see what Jesus had instructed his disciples to do all those years ago. So Jesus had led by example. He would often pray, and his disciples wanted instruction on how to pray, what to pray, when and where. Jesus taught them a prayer for recitation and taught them about the principles of prayer. Now, as you notice, the prayer in today's gospel lesson is not the full entire Lord's Prayer. The one in Matthew, which is the entire prayer, was given on Sermon on the Mount, and this one was given right after Jesus and the disciples left Mary and Martha's house. And this was more just for form and function. But for today's message, I'm going to use the entire Lord's Prayer. So let's begin. Lord's Prayer is beautiful, right? We all agree on that one? It's a beautiful prayer. And it encompasses the prayers of others as well as for ourselves. And there's two parts of the Lord's Prayer. First part, who God is and where he is. And the second part are petitions of what we should be asking God to do for him and for us. So the first part, our Father. We start the prayer as our. All of us, we are all his children. Father, our heavenly Father, not just an unconnected being, caring being, but one who loves us unconditionally. Our Father, who art in heaven. Heaven, it's where God lives and where our heavenly home is, what's waiting for us. It's where we were striving to go to. It's a place to be revered. Now, the seven petitions are things we should ask God for and in what order we should ask for them. First, we start with God and his will. Then we ask him to sustain us, forgive us, and keep us close to him and help keep us from straying. So here we go. First petition. Hallowed be thy name. It's not Howard. How many grew up thinking it was Howard? That's a common joke, but it's hallowed. God's name is special and holy. Recognize that God is holy. He makes things holy. He deserves respect and not to use his name in vain. It even says it in the Ten Commandments. Two, thy kingdom come. This petition is closely tied to may your name be kept holy. God's kingdom is the place where God's name is revered and kept holy. When we allow God to be king in our lives, we revere God's name and keep it holy. When we allow God to be king in our lives, we also make it possible for his kingdom to come within our own lives. Three, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the perfect union of God and us. God wants us to help make the earth the way God wants it to be, as beautiful as heaven, loving and caring. Four, give us this day our daily bread. Bread was a necessity of daily life. It is a symbol for asking God to make sure that we have all that we need. Five, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Trespasses are the wrongs we do against others, such as stealing, hurting someone physically, hurting someone's feelings, being disrespectful of another person. Asking for God's forgiveness requires us to forgive those who wrong us. It can be very hard to forgive some people. Sometimes the closest we can hope for is to forgiveness for them is believing that God can forgive them. We ask for God's mercy, and then we must extend it to others. Six, and lead us not into temptation. Temptation can be big, such as wanting to steal something or hurt someone, or as small as taking a piece of candy. Anybody else do Weight Watchers? I understand that temptation. We sin because of temptation, period. We ask God to help us identify temptation that causes us to sin. Number seven, but deliver us from evil. The cause of temptation is the evil one. We ask God to protect us. It is a spiritual battle. We are asking God to keep us from doing the wrong thing as well as protecting us from the wrong things other people might do to us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This last statement reminds us that everything in the world, including us, belongs to God. And all that we have comes from God, and it is our responsibility to take good care of it. Amen. So be it. We prayed, we stated what we will do, and we do it. So be it. So this was a very quick explanation of the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. But how do we live it each day? How do we wake up and say, oh, I'm going to live the Lord's Prayer today? Do we do that? No. But can we? Yes. In today's scripture lesson was also the parable of a friend comes at midnight. So in this parable, a man's friend arrived at his door in the late evening. It was necessary to feed this traveler and show hospitality, no matter what time it was. Having nothing in the house, the man ran next door and asked for bread. The neighbor was already in bed, fast asleep, and told him, go away, we're in bed. My kids are tucked in, I'm tucked in. I have nothing for you. And just a side note, just out of researching, I found that Mideastern people take hospitality seriously. The traveler's friend has an obligation to show hospitality, to provide an appropriate meal for the traveler. To fail in this obligation would bring shame on the host family. It would also bring shame on the village at large, because the obligation for hospitality falls on the whole village. I don't know about you, but when I have company coming, like Wednesday, my friend who is a Methodist pastor is coming from Nebraska, and I would never think of the whole village of Lindenhurst helping me feed and entertain them and be hospitable. Could you imagine Hicksville doing that? You have family coming up from Florida, and you depend on the whole town to be hospitable. But maybe in this day and age, hospitality is more along the lines of courteousness. I'm sorry, I can't say that. To be courteous. To be loving, be kind. That's all over the place now. Be kind and da-da-da-da-da. So, but getting bread at midnight would have been difficult back then. No 24-hour supermarkets, no 7-Elevens to run to, and the bakers would have only baked enough bread for the daily use. So the man's only recourse was to awaken his neighbor for help. The neighbor finally got up and gave the man bread, not because they were friends or out of obligation, but because the man was unrelenting, knocking on the door over and over again, "I need bread." His persistence got him the bread he needed. This is illustrated in the next parable. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. The words of the gospel, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And it was, it's very similar to the children's message this morning. You just keep knocking and the door's going to open. Now notice how the verbs, ask, seek, knock, they're all in present tense. Even though the Bible was written thousands of years ago, it's not back then. Like, not he knocked, he asked, he sought. No, it's present tense to show that we must be doing this as well. When asking God for something, we must ask, seek, and knock. But like the loving Father that he is, he doesn't just say, "Sure, here you go." Some things he says no to and gives you what you really need. So how do we take all this and wrap it up to help us understand how we live the Lord's Prayer? We need to realize that the journey to a deeper walk with God can only be accomplished in the company of God's people, church, Bible studies, Zoom meetings. It is not an individual pursuit. You can only grow in grace in the community of Christ. You need each other to hold each other accountable. Know that God transcends our human limitations that we put on him. Do you ever think that, "Oh, God doesn't care, I'm so minor in this world, God's not going to listen to my pleas." It's such a small request to find, you know, the one pair of shoes I'm looking for. God is as close as our next breath. Ask God to show you how to hear him and be aware of his constant presence. Practice being still. Practice waiting. Practice listening. And practice focusing on God. Honor God in the way we live. It's more than just talk. We need to acknowledge our failures, confess our sins, and repent. Then pursue holiness. Aim for higher standards. Never allow yourself to become complacent. Keep pursuing more holiness every day of your life. Invite God to rule your life. Participate in God's kingdom. Pursue God's plans for you, not your own agenda. God will work through you as you serve him. Seek to do God's will rather than your own will when you make decisions every day. Don't get so preoccupied in what God has for you to do in the future that you don't live for today. Do you ever think, "Oh, when I get my degree, I will start living. When I get my own house, I will start living. When I get married, things will get better. When I lose 50 pounds, my life will begin. No, we need to focus on today, this minute. Seek God's power to draw you closer to Him. Every activity that we do can be done for the glory of God. You can always count on God to provide what you need, both physically and spiritually. But you need to develop a habit of depending on Him every day, rather than trying to make things happen for yourself on your own. Be grace-filled in your life. Forgive others. Let God's grace and forgiveness flow through you to everyone we come in contact with. Did somebody cut you off in the supermarket line? Don't be nasty. Just say they must be having a really rough day and give them God's grace. Well, just let them go. Don't argue. There are some people that need us to be gracious to them, and let's be aware of that. Ask God to deliver you from whatever sin is oppressing you. God can empower us to overcome sin when we choose to obey Him. Trust God to use your failures to help you grow. Pursue glorifying God. Dr. Phil says, it's not about you. That is correct. Our efforts of glorifying God leads to true contentment and fulfillment in our lives. It's all about God. David Timms, the author of Living the Lord's Prayer, says it best. Live from a position of saying yes to God each day. Look beyond your circumstances to God and choose to live by faith in every situation, trusting God for the ultimate outcome. Find the hope you need in God's promises and live with the expectation of Him keeping all of them. So keep on knocking at the door. God will open the door. Keep searching, keep seeking God's wisdom and grace. Keep asking the questions we need to ask to be part of God's kingdom, to ask for forgiveness, to ask for guidance, to ask permission. And when we sang the response through it all, we do need to learn to trust in Jesus. And through it all, I've learned to trust Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the instructions of prayer and living. Help each of us live out the Lord's Prayer each and every day. Be with us as we grow and transform into the people you want us to be. Let us live the prayer Jesus taught us. And let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.